98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Maximum football. With Doug and Wolf. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Financial tools and tech to help make things easy.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
So we are hoping to get Bruce Arians to join us in about 10 minutes with Ron Wolfley and one of his former players, Max Starks, who joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line for Maximum Football.
Hang on to your butts, Basin Onions.
Max, good morning. A, how's the family? B, what are you ready to ask BA? What's the question you cannot wait to ask BA?
Well, I think the biggest thing, first and foremost, family's doing well. Actually, my daughter is at a doctor's appointment right now for her annual checkup.
Okay.
So Hopefully everything goes well there. But other than that, everybody's moving along copacetically. Second, BA, I can't wait to ask him how it feels to be back at a Super Bowl. And more importantly, kind of, he's ran the trifecta. Really, as a coach in the Super Bowl, he's been the position coach. He's been the coordinator. Now he reaches the Super Bowl as an actual head coach. And just kind of how that feels to have that culmination, to know that you've hit that kind of three-play as a coach.
Mm. Mm. What is your first thought when you think of Super Bowl 55?
I just think, wow, we're here.
Yes.
First and foremost, the fact that we actually made it.
Seriously, I know. That's exactly how I feel as well. I'm stunned that we made it.
Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't without its own, you know, hardships and just, you know, craziness, right? I mean, to think this was the sport that was supposed to be the one that was going to fail, right? Because this one had the largest concentration of human beings in one space. This is a sport that had the most contact. And this is a sport that was going to be doing domestic travel. So when you have that type of trinity, it was bound to fail by everybody in their minds when this started. And the fact that we got every game played, we got through the playoffs, and we're going to be playing a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, and there will be fans present.
Yes.
It's a remarkable feat when you think about it. And I'm excited for the fact that I know it's not going to be the normal pageantry, right? Teams aren't going to be down there a week before, like normal. They're coming in like it's a regular away game for Kansas City. Tampa lives there. So that's also another thing that's stunning, that we got an actual home team defending their home for the Super Bowl. That's the first time it's ever happened. So that's incredible in and of itself. So I'm excited for everything that it is. I know it's a pandemic. I know it's not the normal pageantry, but Super Bowl 55 is going to be an incredible moment for the sport of football.
Max Starks joining Doug and Wolf. You know, it's I never thought something would be crazier than a team hosting a Super Bowl. But what's crazier is that's Tampa Bay's first home game in the playoffs is the Super Bowl, which just makes absolutely no sense at all. And to your point about the fact that we actually got through it, you might be able to argue Steelers. I don't know if you want to talk about the Steelers, but because of they never really had a true bye week this year because they thought they were going to play every time they had a game or they didn't know and all the confusing. But I don't feel like we got cheated. When you say we got through it, I don't feel like one team got cheated by coronavirus or something was terribly unfair. I think we got exactly where we should be, Chiefs-Bucks, because the Buccaneers got better and better. Maybe you want to argue Saints or Packers. I'm not saying you always get the best teams, but I don't feel like coronavirus cheated us of a season either. Do you?
I don't think it cheated us of a season. I mean, we literally got every single possible game you could get, 246?
Mm-hmm. And 56.
I don't – 256, sorry. it's amazing when you think of that in and of itself. And, yeah, like you said, you could point to the Steelers having the short end of a stick in moments. But at the end of the day, I think this is where we came down to. I feel like at the beginning of the season, we knew the Chiefs were going to be a Super Bowl favorite.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. We knew that there was a great possibility that the NFC South was going to represent the Super Bowl from the NFC side. Mm-hmm. Because you had Drew Brees and you had Tom Brady in the same division. And everybody felt really strong about it. And then, of course, you look at the Packers and you look at Aaron Rodgers and you say that was in the top three. So I think we got one of the top three there. It wasn't like there was this dark horse. It wasn't like it was the Browns playing in the Super Bowl against the Bucks. It was literally our favorites. You know, it, just like we talk about Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State always getting into the college football playoff, I think we kind of already – we had our preseason picks make it to where we thought they would be. So it wasn't like there was this big surprise of a team getting in there. And for the Bucks, yeah, for Tom Brady – I mean, Tom Brady has represented 18% of all Super Bowls played. You realize that? He's been in 18% of them.
Seriously.
Well,
incredible.
Earlier, Max Starks brought it up, and it's a really interesting point. 2006 B.A. – or 2005 is the season, but the 06 Super Bowl. B.A. makes it as a position coach. Then there's the Super Bowl we do not talk about, where B.A. makes it as an offensive coordinator. And now he's the head coach. And he joins us next.
He went again.
Bruce Arians joins Doug Wolf and Max Starks, one of his former players, on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You know, the highest compliment the Doug and Wolf Show can give you is when you get your own walk-up music. And every time we've ever talked about Bruce Arians, we've played Frank Sinatra. And right now he joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. And at BA, we have to start off with congratulations. And just to have a listener understand the four voices, there's me, the cheesy media guy. There's Ron Wolfley, who we believe is BA's favorite color analyst in the NFL, depending on how he feels about Craig Wolfley. And BA, we also have Max Starks, who joins us every Tuesday to talk football. So do you have a Max Starks story you want to give us?
Oh, I've got way, way, way too many. Way too many. And none of them can be aired publicly.
That's right. Bruce, how are you, coach? How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well, brother. If any better, I'd be twins.
Oh, man. We appreciate your time this morning, coach.
We do. B.A., you know, I have to start this off. You know, obviously, congratulations. I shot you a text already, but just kind of talk to us about what it means to be back at another Super Bowl and to have done it in this fashion. This is, you've ran the coaching trifecta with making it to Super Bowls. What does it mean now to be here as a head coach?
Oh, it means the world. I mean, I know you don't dream about these things, but they don't happen. you know, this team reminds me so much of our Super Bowl 40 team. They're so close. You know, that was probably the closest team I've ever been a part of. And these guys really care about each other. You know, fighting the virus as much as the other teams this year has been a big part of it.
B.A., can you talk to us about Tom Brady and what Tom Brady has brought to not only this team, of course, but to the entire organization?
Yeah, Wolf, it's like we were a really good football team. We had a lot of really good young players. The thing we missed was the confidence factor of someone who'd been there and done it. And when, you know, Tom decided to come here, it legitimized our locker room very, very much like Carson Palmer did when we came to Arizona. All the guys said, hey, we got a quarterback. And, you know, our guys said, we got Tom Brady, maybe the best that's ever played it. And it was just a total different atmosphere, especially not having OTAs in any kind of preseason or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, who won the best Bruce Arians Tom Brady argument?
Oh, he wins them all.
What was that about?
I have a hard time believing that.
Come on, nobody backs you into a corner. Come on, what was the best argument about?
Oh, really, just different ways we do things, you know. There really weren't any arguments. It's just philosophical differences that sometimes get a little bit louder sometimes.
Go for it, Max.
No, he...
Oh, okay. It's my turn. Okay, yep. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was a Wolf-Max combo.
No.
No, just kind of be a, the other question I have is, you did it in a way that is not nouveau, right? It's not in vogue because you see Patrick Mahomes, the opponent you're going against, is that new era, the mobile quarterback, the dual threat guys that are now the new trend in the NFL. You did it in the normal fashion, the old school fashion, they'd call it, with a pocket passer. Do you think Tom is the last of those pocket passers? Do you think now the move is now to have these mobile quarterbacks versus ones that who can sit in the pocket and read the entire defense?
Well, I think, Max, it starts with that. It starts with being able to play from the pocket. Now, if you have the ability to move around, like Aaron Rodgers moves around as good as anybody and creates plays, but if you can't play from the pocket, you can run around all the hell you want. You ain't going to make any plays. You got to be able to play from the pocket.
B.A., you know, I look at this and what's going on in the football universe right now in the NFL, and I see a clash of the old school versus the new school, of Tom Brady, if you will, versus Patrick Mahomes. First of all, would you say that's accurate, that there is a clash, or is it a blending, more of a blending of the two?
Well, I think it's a blending because Patrick Mahomes is one of the most talented guys I've ever gone and worked out in person. And he can play in any offense there is. But, you know, he will kill you from the pocket, and he will murder you from outside the pocket, which if you let him out of there. So he is the blend of the best of mobile people, but he will light you up from the pocket because his arm is just unbelievable.
All right, B.A., obviously when you were back out here in the desert with the Cardinals, there was a draft that came up, and there was a leapfrog that happened. Just take me through the mindset, like take me through the mindset of, you know, I know you wanted Patrick Mahomes as one of the potential draft guys. Just how was that, having to deal with, you know, the transition of somebody leapfrogging when you have that, and then adjusting on the fly?
You know, it was kind of crazy that day. It's very, very vivid. You know, we're sitting there and we got him. We got one of the two. We're either going to get Patrick or going to get Deshaun, because neither one of these teams need a quarterback. Then Kansas City trades up and we go, they're not taking a quarterback. They got Alex Smith. And there goes Pat. Then Houston trades up and they take Deshaun. And it's like, wow, there was those 30 some seconds that those things happen in. Were amazing to change a lot of things for a lot of franchises.
Are you still the head coach of the Cardinals if those 30 seconds didn't happen and you have one of those guys?
You know, that's hard to say. So much depended on my health. Those guys might have made it a little bit easier.
B, if you don't mind me asking, how is your health? How are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great. I mean, I'm probably up to a C+.
Stop it. I mean, come on. You honestly, so you feel like you're doing well, and is the family okay with you coaching still right now? I mean, when is this going to end for you, B.A.?
I don't know. We're having so much fun, and I got to say, Byron left, which makes it so easy for me. And I wouldn't even gotten back in coaching had I not been able to get Byron. The what he does is amazing. He's such a bright young coach and deserves to be a head coach. But he makes it so it's easier for me. And then having Todd Bowles and the rest of the staff, it's really very so much different from when I was calling plays and being the offensive coordinator and the head coach than what I'm doing now.
And B.A., just kind of talk about that. The staff that you have, it's a collection of a lot of young talent and, of course, some familiar faces. But just like you said, talking about Byron and kind of his maturation and getting him on the staff, obviously Footy's down there and Harold and all of these guys who are aspiring head coaches one day. How does it feel to have these guys together that you know so well? And then, of course, Todd, right? You know, having Todd back in the fold. What does it mean to be surrounded by all this bright young talent and just consistency?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, these guys are so good. You know, I think our staff ranges from 28 years old to 82, and Tom Moore's still going strong as ever. And
that's awesome.
But to have that diversity and bright minds, getting so much input from everyone really, really makes it easy to coach.
It's Max Starks, who played on the O-line with Bruce Arians in Pittsburgh. B.A., the old Cardinals coach, joining Doug and Wolf. Bruce, just listening to you talk and build up Byron Leftwich, and I know how you feel about Todd Bowles, and I think anybody who has a brain believes he deserves a second shot in the NFL as a head coach. Have you thought about winning on next Sunday and then jumping on the white horse, riding off to the lake finally in retirement, and having Todd Bowles or Byron Leftwich take over next year?
No, hell no, brother. They're going to have to wait because we'll be gone for two.
Hey, no risk it, no biscuit.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Hey, B, let me ask you this right here. Is this the best team that you have coached? I mean, now, just don't answer willy-nilly here. You've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You've got Tom Brady. I understand that. But is this the best team you've coached since you've been a head coach?
Since I've been a head coach, it's right there with our 13-3 team. You know, that was a hell of a defense and a really, really good offense. I think we're just maybe a notch above. We're a little bit younger, a little bit faster maybe, but our wide receiver depth is crazy. But mm-hmm. They're very, very close.
Yeah, and just talk to me about that, B.A., just the craftiness to get this collection of players, of talent, on one side of the ball, you know, because you have Antonio, right? You have a Mike Evans already on the roster. You bring in Gronk. You get Ronald Jones. You have Ronald Jones. You bring in Leonard Fournette. Just the spoils of weapons that you have. I mean, just have you ever just sat back and said, wow? I mean, just looking across, I mean, this looks like, you know, from a civilian standpoint, like a 2017 fantasy squad, really all the collection of guys. Have you ever just marveled at just how many different guys? And do you ever get an issue where guys, I want the ball. I mean, because everybody wants the ball, and you have guys who are all capable and can take it yard at any moment.
Yeah, I got to give Jason Light all that credit because to get those guys and still be salary cap friendly is amazing. And but, yeah, I mean – when guys don't go down, we've got really, really good young players like Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller to step in when AB goes down. Ronald Jones going down. We got Leonard Fournette and a young man, Keyshawn Vaughn, I'm really high on. So it's been one of those times when, hey, this guy's available. Yeah, let's go get the depth because this team's going to make a run.
We want you to know this, B.A. This is pretty cool. About 30 minutes before you came on, we had Alex Okafor on the show because he built up a decent relationship with Wolf in his time with the Cardinals. And we asked him, is there anything he wants to say to B.A.? Because we told him you were coming on. And we were hoping he'd say, I'm coming after your boy Tom Brady, or you better look out for me, or something like that. And guess what he wanted to tell you?
B.A.'s coming on in the next hour. Is there anything you want us to tell him from you?
If anything, man, I just want y'all to say thank you for, you know, giving me my first opportunity in this league. And, you know, I'm still going strong, baby.
If you want to feel old, he turns 30 the day after the Super Bowl. How about that? How about that, B.A.?
I feel old every day, brother.
Hey, B, you know, on that note right there, tell me you're not driving around in a convertible. Tell me you're not doing that, Coach.
Why?
You are. You're driving around in a convertible.
I'd be lying, brother.
Oh, that's my awesome. Goodness. All right,
that's
babe.
Awesome. That's awesome. We love having you, B.A. Max, take us out because I know you're the one that has the much deeper connection to say goodbye to Bruce.
B.A., you know, from me and from, of course, the guys in the station, just thank you so much for the time. Thank you for all the memories, Coach, and I can't wait to celebrate the next time when we can have some brown water together. Hopefully that'll be down in Tampa one of these days when social distancing is not as a big deal. But please send the love to the family, and good luck on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday.
Appreciate it, Max. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Still love all the Redbirds out there. Love y'all.
Right on,
I love hearing that. That's Bruce Arians, head coach of the NFC champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and potentially winning another ring in the first one as a head coach, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Nissan, then you want Coulter Nissan. Go to CoulterNissan.com, west of the hassle. Coming up next, what else? A little more BA on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Okay.
When's baseball, D-Hall? Let's go. Let's go.
I know I'm fat and 58, my brothers, but this one right here will get you, will it not? I think we all understand that. It just seems so appropriate, does it not?
Little ZZ Top for Bruce Arians. Max Starks, what did you love most about talking to your old assistant coach and the head coach of the Cardinals?
You know, it's one of those things where it just BA's personality, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those it's comfortable. It's that warm hug. It's that familiar voice on the other line. It's got that mix of uncle slash mentor slash friend element to it. And it's always so comfortable to talk to BA, no matter how tough the situation may be. And like you alluded to in the beginning when you were asking him about my story, we've had so many moments together over time, good, bad, and indifferent, you know, whether it's from me not getting the safety on a blitz once a year and getting Ben just absolutely blasted. One time a year, it happened every single year. And just remembering, like, are we done, Max? Is this it? You know, in the meeting room. But then also sharing the joys, right? You know, the tailgate, when we used to tailgate after games when BA was a position coach. You know, we come out there to the parking lot and he'd crack open the trunk and there was adult beverages and brown water was definitely not in short supply. To, you know, the celebrations of Super Bowls are going down to his retirement home when he officially decides to make it such down in Georgia and hanging out on his back porch and sitting on the lake.
Listen to you say this, Max. I got to tell you, Wolf, you have said it countless number of times on this show. I don't think there's anybody that's going to sit and wax poetic about their long, great friendship with Bill Belichick.
Yes.
So there's many different ways to get there.
Although I love Bill.
But you do have to look at Cliff Kingsbury, Max, when I hear you talk about how you feel about Bruce Arians. And I do sit there and say, does any fan feel that connection with Cliff? No, but I'm not saying that it matters. But we all missed BA listening to him just now. Do players look at Cliff and are they building a tailgate relationship? And if they're not, I do think you make it a little bit harder. Not that it's impossible. And look at the most successful coach in the history of the game didn't need to be friends with the players. But I do think you make it hard on yourself. You better win when you don't. Am I right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You need to win to justify the behavior, right? I mean, I think that's what we get to.
And that's fair for every coach.
That's for every coach. But I think, you know, when you look at it, can Cliff get to that point? Possibly. I mean, he's such a young coach in the NFL that, you know, he's still developing habits. Just like we talk about Kyler Murray. Like, you don't know what you don't know. Kyler Murray just finished technically his junior year starting in college with experience. So you still have time to grow and to understand it. And obviously, Cliff's had to navigate through some difficult situations over the last couple of years. There will come a point when there will be comfortability, and you wonder if that will be something that he does develop or if not. I mean, it's perfectly fine. I mean, I look at my head coaches, and I've been blessed and fortunate that over my time, I can say that I feel comfortable with all of them and can talk great about all of them. Bill Cowher. I know that if I wanted to call BC, he would pick up the phone and he would answer my call. I know that, I've sat and had conversations with Mike T after my career, and we've had those comfortable moments, and that would be a person I would hang out with, and BA also falls into that mold. Jeff Fisher, for my short stint in St. Louis.
Wow.
I would do that as well because he was one of my uncle's college roommates over his time at USC. But the only one I can say that I wouldn't is Mike McCoy, and that's for a whole different set of reasons.
That's so good.
But everybody else is good. Everybody else is good. So I'm blessed and fortunate to say that I have had those type of relationships and still maintain those relationships with my coaches.
One of the things I absolutely love about Bruce Arians is just the fact that he's one of the most dogmatic and confident individuals you're ever going to be around, Basinonians. He's a guy that believes he's right. He knows he's right, and he believes he's right so much of the time. And it's one of the great things about interviewing Bruce Arians. You can almost ask B.A. anything. You can ask him anything. And he really doesn't take offense to it. He never takes offense to it because he doesn't care what you think. Right? He knows he's right and doesn't care what you think and never takes it as a personal attack because he's so secure in who he is. That's one of the traits I love about him.
Max asked Bruce Arians, if you didn't hear it, a great question about, I think off the top of my head, it's the 2017 NFL draft. Never forget, that's Mitchell Trubisky going before Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. But Max, you asked him about that day.
You know, it was kind of crazy. That day, it's very, very vivid. You know, we're sitting there and we got him. We got one of the two. We're either going to get Patrick or going to get Deshaun because neither one of these teams need a quarterback. Then Kansas City trades up, and we go, they're not taking a quarterback. They got Alex Smith. And there goes Pat. Then Houston trades up, and they take Deshaun. And it's like, wow, those 30-some seconds that those things happen in were amazing to change a lot of things for a lot of franchises.
Are you still the head coach of the Cardinals if those 30 seconds didn't happen and you have one of those guys?
You know, that's hard to say. It's so much dependent on my health. And those guys might have made it a little bit easier.
It was his health, too.
But those guys would have made his health a little better. That was a great question, Max, to get him rolling on that. And what a day for Cardinals fans to have to remember.
Driving around in a convertible.
Oh, it's
give me a break. B.A., you're a cliche.
Speaking of quarterbacks, we're going to have Wolf and Max react to this. This is going to shock you with the number. The starting quarterbacks in week one of 2020. Who probably aren't going to be with the same team starting in week one of 2021. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Going to play a little game with the two of you. Max Starks, Maximum Football on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. The Super Bowl winning offensive lineman joins Doug and Wolf every Tuesday to talk ball. And, of course, Wolf is here in the Octane Community Studios. I was shocked when I put this list together. I'll tell you how many names are on it in just a second. But this is going to be the most unheard of changeover, in my opinion, in NFL history, is this offseason at, sorry, Max, sorry, Wolf, the most important position in football, and in some people's eyes, the most important position in all of sports.
Wedge buster.
An NFL quarterback. No. And now, granted, Max will say the person that protects the NFL quarterback is more important. But listen, some of these names, it's due to injury. Some of the names due to free agency.
No.
Some of the names due to retirement. But here are the opening day starters for 2020 NFL teams. You tell me how many of these guys, which of these guys will start week one with the same team they started week one of 2020. Okay, here you go. Number one. Kind of an easy one. Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Well, he's retired.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's gone.
Yes, thank
but
you.
But still, that's one of the amazing changeover that's about
trick
to happen.
Question.
Yeah. I told you I'd make it easy. Another one's easy. Dwayne Haskins.
All right. Dwayne.
Already been cut.
He's a Steeler.
So we've got two already on the list. Now we'll mix things up and it gets a little harder. Jared Goff.
Ooh. He comes back. Jared Goff.
Starts week one for the Rams?
Yes.
He'll be there, yeah.
Matt Ryan,
yes. He's starting with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah?
Yes, week one, yep.
Some people say he's gone. Drew Brees, Max. Drew Brees.
Drew's done. He already signed a CBS contract.
Yeah, there it is. Drew Brees.
I thought it was NBC.
No, it was CBS.
Oh, wow.
I thought.
Retired.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Ooh. He's not done. There's no way he's done.
But is he week one starter for the Bears?
No. No, he is not.
Okay.
No way.
Drew Lock.
Drew Lock. Next.
You think he's
Nope.
He's gone from the Bucks or from the Broncos?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he is.
Wow.
Yeah.
With Matt Stafford and other guys coming available, I wouldn't be surprised to see Matt Stafford in a Broncos uniform.
Well, guess what name that is? Matt Stafford. He's still on this list, even though we know he won't be a lineman. You kind of like Broncos for him, Max.
Yeah, I kind of like – I see the Broncos. I mean, obviously, we'll see with the whole Deshaun Watson debacle with Jets and Dolphins. But, I mean, I like Matt Stafford to Denver. I think that fits his style, and I think they have a good enough squad.
I think John Elway's got to be looking at that saying, yeah, you know what, we'll take that.
Yeah, he did Stafford. Well when he went over and got another quarterback that left a longtime franchise. Gardner Minshew, Jacksonville.
No way. That's why Urban took the job.
Yep.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, no way. No way, Cam.
I just can't believe Cam Newton. Are you going to tell me he's not going to get another gig somewhere?
He's not going to be a week one starter for the Patriots, right?
No.
He won't be a Patriot.
Man, I can't believe that.
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow, yes, of course.
You think he'll be starting week one?
Yes.
I think he'll be healthy by then.
Okay.
From what I've heard.
Now, this is a shock because you have to think about it with how crazy the situation is in Miami. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, no.
Not the starter.
He won't be the starter week one?
Tua is going to be the starter.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G. No way.
No way for Max.
No way.
I think he's done. I think he's done. He's worn out his good looks.
Dak Prescott.
Max, I just got to ask you this right here, though. On Jimmy G, don't you see him possibly returning to the Patriots? Couldn't you see that actually happening?
Easily. Yeah.
Good point, Wolf.
Because he's disavowed in San Fran, and Bill always loves to bring back a guy that he knows. It's like a warm hug.
Yes.
Especially to be able to show what I could do with him.
Person.
Dak Prescott. Not only a free agent, but injured. Granted, we all think he'll get franchised.
But will he start week one?
I think he'll be back by week one.
Wow, that's awesome. That's gutsy. Sam Darnold.
Ooh.
No for you, Max?
Can you get out of that? I don't know about that one. That is good right there.
Yeah, that's good. I don't feel it. I feel like with them having the number two pick with Robert Saleh coming and a new head coach wants to establish a new philosophy and a new mindset. And I just don't think when you have that and you have Justin Fields available, I don't know if you do that. Or unless you trade out of that pick with a quarterback that comes from the Southwest, from the Lone Star State.
Here's the one thing I would say about that, Max, is number one, the receivers for the Jets were so bad.
Mm-hmm.
The talent around him was so bad. That's number one. And number two, the thing I would question or wonder about is Robert Saleh coming in as a defensive coordinator. Todd Bowles, by way of example, always told me that he thought he was uniquely situated to help a quarterback get better, to help a quarterback understand the game, to be able to see it from the defense's perspective.
I would tell you, it extends the honeymoon period, too. If you're Robert Saleh saying we're going to try to give Sam Darnold a chance, and then he fails, now you get another honeymoon period with the next quarterback.
I wonder if Robert Saleh believes that as well.
Yeah. Carson Wentz.
Tough. I don't think he will be there. I don't think he'll be the starter of the Eagles, Carson Wentz.
No?
No.
Wow.
No.
That's a massive change.
Not with what Jalen Hurts did and a new head coach.
Aaron Rodgers.
Wait a minute. I want to go back on the Eagles and say Carson Wentz. Yes, he will be.
You think he'll stick his head?
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, he's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Week one for the Packers. You don't believe any of it? Okay.
The cheeseheads would go absolutely berserk if Aaron Rodgers is not there. Matt LaFleur wants to keep his job for many moons.
Okay, here you go, Max.
That's not how you keep your job.
I don't know how you're going to feel about this one. Big Ben.
Well, Big Ben, I think he's done.
I mean, after hearing the reports, now, obviously, I didn't get confirmation from Pouncey, but I knew their careers are linked, and if Pouncey is on that verge of retirement, I have to believe the look on Ben's face on the sideline had to have been one of those that was in deep reflection.
I'm with you.
I've seen that look on people's faces before, and I've experienced that look myself just thinking about it, and that looks like a guy who will not be donning the black and gold next season.
You know, when I think of Big Ben, this is just me right here, but when I think of him, I think of a guy that is incredibly tough, a guy that has endured an awful lot and will play through a lot of pain, but he wants to tell you about it. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of look at this retirement.
I'm tough. Let me tell you how tough.
I exactly right. And I'm looking at this possible retirement, and I'm thinking he's going to retire. But not so fast, if you know what I mean.
And of course,
because it kind of feels good.
The last name on the list, week one starter for the Houston Texans of 2020. Will Deshaun Watson be the week one starter in 2021?
No.
No, that's BBR. That's burn beyond recognition.
Wow, you know,
I'm with you.
That relationship.
I am totally with you. So just so everybody's clear, I gave you 19 names.
Wow.
Now, you guys were pretty adamant, don't even bring up Aaron Rodgers or some names that you didn't grab onto. But there are 19 names on the – there's only 32 teams. And yet I gave you 19 names of potential changes from who started in week one. Time for the U.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the U. It's all about
the U. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show was listening to Alex Okafor and Max Starks talk about how they feel about Bruce Arians. Max?
All right. My U is, gosh, it feels good to hear B.A.'s voice again. And it's still just as fiery as before.
All right, Basinonians, B.A.'s driving around South Florida, or actually Tampa Bay, in a convertible. What a cliche. Peace and strength.